This Edgar Profiles podcast is supported by Ping. Edgar is an association of national federations formed in the year 2000 to develop and encourage initiatives which raise the awareness of golf, both as a participation and competitive sport for individuals with disability. For more information about Edgar, please visit edgargolf.com. Your host for this episode is Tony Bennett. Ping. Play your best.
I'm Tony Bennett. Before I start, I would like to tell you a short, personal, and true story about Ping.
In 1959, Carsten designed a putter that he went on to call the 1A. This was probably the first putter ever designed by a professional engineer. It looked nothing like the golf world had ever seen. The head was made from material never used before in club making. The face was floating, attached only at the heel and toe. Carsten had invented perimeter weighting. He knew by moving the weight around the perimeter of the putter head, it would drastically minimize twisting on off-centered struck putts. The stable head produced a level of forgiveness and accuracy that made the game easier. With his first prototype design of the 1A putter, he drilled a hole in the head and put a shaft in it. When he putted a ball on the floor, the design made a ping sound. Carsten immediately recognized the significance of the sound. Not only was his new putter a step forward in putter design, it had a unique musical marketing angle and subsequently provided a distinctive name for the business. Ping. What other name could he call it?
As an 18-year-old, my guest was preparing for his role on the battlefield. It is compulsory to do national service in Israel for both men and women. On one exercise to simulate the removal of an injured colleague, my guest Shlomo Ivgi found himself on the front end carrying a stretcher. Behind him was a fellow soldier who had left a bullet in the chamber of his unlocked gun. A few moments later, having been accidentally shot in the back, Shlomo became a real-life casualty, who at first fought for his life. And then fought to find a way to live from a chair, having been paralyzed by accident. Shlomo takes us through those times with stories from his wonderful life, explains how he looks into the mirror every day and decides to smile at everyone he meets. He explains the value of sport and how golf, above all other sports, allows him the opportunity to meet new people on a level playing field, to play together and to understand each other while sharing four or so hours on the golf course and perhaps another hour with a few beers. One by one, my guest is changing the perception of disabled people. I hope that you enjoy this ride with Shlomo Ivgi as much as I did. Shlomo, I mean, it's just great to speak with you. I know you're in Israel right now, and it doesn't seem that long ago since I was in your own home drinking fresh mint tea with you and your good lady, having had a wonderful day in Jerusalem. It was a memorable day for me on many, many counts. Not only to see Jerusalem firsthand and experience the sights and the sounds and the smell of the city, but more so to see how you navigate everyday life as someone who lives that life from a wheelchair. And I mean, it was just a great day for me on so many counts. I really enjoyed it. And going down to the soup was nice. And, you know, just getting the walnuts. And yeah, it was just a really good day. And then we had a nice lunch afterwards. So there's so much that I'd like to talk to you about and discuss with you. Can we start off by you taking me through the accident that put you in a wheelchair in the first place? And I know the year was 1974, you're doing your military service, and then what happened?
In Israel, every citizen that is coming to the age 18, he must go to the military for 3 years, men and women for 2 years. And in jury practice in Sinai, my friend, he had bullet in his gun. And by coincidence, he shoot me in the back. Then I fell down, and since then my life started to change. I was 18 and a half years old when I wounded. It was a really difficult moment. You know, when you come back to that, it was a difficult moment.
Tell me about those first few days in hospital, because that must have been, well, it's hard for me to understand, but 18 and a half years of age and you're in hospital, probably knowing stage you're not going to walk.
Yes, I'm in hospital in Be'er Sheva for two weeks without consent, and after operation. And the moment that they say to me, okay, you are paraplegic and you can't walk anymore, I thought, okay, you know, I was depressed, but when I touch my body and I feel that I don't feel nothing of my body, then I came back to be very depressed. And 2 months, actually, I didn't speak with the people around me. I was very depressed. My family was around me, friends. But nothing helped. I didn't want to make contact with anybody. And they took me to rehabilitation center in Ra'anana, Beit Levenstein. And then there I met another paraplegic like me, the wounded after Yom Kippur War. And I start rehabilitation with me, and but I really, like 1 year, I didn't want to do nothing. I didn't want to eat even. I was very, very depressed. And suddenly one day she come one physiotherapy, and she say, look, I finished my school now. And this is my first job. If you don't cooperate with me, well, they fired me. Please don't do something for me. and is it really, this is I say, oh wow, if they fired her, it's not nice. Well, I say, okay, what do you want I do? So first come out of the bed. And slowly I start. My lucky it was that also a lot of volunteers come around us, and they make us show. A lot of actors come to the hospital. It was a lot of support around, and I start realize that, okay, this is your life, Shlomo. And Tammy, the physiotherapist of me, she all the time, she pushed me every morning. She come, okay, good morning, Shlomo. But she take my leg out of the bed, and I don't have any choice. Carry me, boom, put me in the wheelchair and take me to the physiotherapy. And that's like that. It stay like 2 years, and you know, it was a difficult time. But the moment that I say, okay, Shlomo, now you need to start to live, do something with yourself. And from that moment, I say, I also, my mother, she talked with me a lot, you know, my father, sister. And I get a lot of support. And since then, I said to myself, okay, the moment that I went outside from the hospital, I got to start build my life. And thank God, I start new life. I call it's a second life, actually. You know, to forget what it was before, and then I make the switch. It was easy, it took time, but I make the switch, and now I'm here with all my story, wonderful life. And that's my start of my story.
I assume that the physiotherapist didn't get sacked. She kept her job.
Yes, she continued working until she retired to pension. She was an amazing one, really, Tammy. Yeah, and when you are realize with the new reality, and you decide it's okay, it was hard, okay, from now, continue. And I continue.
I remember you saying something to me, and I honestly don't remember when you said it to me, but it was something that stuck in my mind. And you said that it was a very proud moment when you could use the paragolfer and you were able to stand up for the first time for the Israeli national anthem. And yeah. When you said that to me, the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. And I had to think about it a bit more, because it's not something that I'd really thought about much before you mentioned it. But you spent the best part of 40 years, so that's giving your age away, viewing the world sitting down. And can you explain to me what it's like to view the world from a seated position?
What I can say to you, I feel very good with this. I sit in my wheelchair, and I saw people around me, and I said they need to learn how to behave with somebody that is sitting in the wheelchair. Mm-hmm. This is what was my point of the view. I give you some example. When I marry and I get my two lovely three girls, and I went, my wife, she was actually dark skin, I say it, and she didn't like to go to the beach. And we live near the beach, and my daughter say, oh, we don't want swimming pool, we want to go to the beach. And I said to myself, okay, Shlomo, this is a good challenge for you. And in these days, 30, now my daughter, she's 40, when it was like 35, when she was 5, you know, and the second she was 3 years old. Then I said to him, okay, we go to the sea. And okay, I went to the sea, it's downhill, and I park my car. It was, not very organized, because 35 ago, Israel was not very friendly for wheelchair accessible facility around. Well, I start to move with two little girls with a bag, and I said to them, okay, look, now I go down from the wheelchair, children, and you go slowly, slowly with the bag. And I went down, and I start to carry myself by hand until the place that I want to stay with my daughters near the water. Mm-hmm. And that moment gave me the power to continue my life, because I saw people around me that was in shock. Come, we help you. I said, no, thank you. And people actually cry, because they saw somebody, young people with two girls, carry self in the ass, jumping with the hand to the beach, and I sit with them. And since then, every Saturday weekend, the children want to come. And then I met friend, and he said, Shlomo, you don't need to go down. Okay, we push you with the wheelchair. But it's that point in my life, I say, okay, I do everything that I'm behave like normal person with disability, and I learn how to accept that. And I accept that, and till now I accept. Actually, it will sound really maybe bad. I love it.
Right.
That is part of my life. I love to do what I do. I continue my life, and I'm happy with what I am.
It's very obvious when I see you and spend any time with you that you're very comfortable in your own skin, and you're totally, totally adapted to your life, and you've got a great life, as you mentioned earlier, and that's all credit to your determination, I think, more than anything. But how important has sport been in your life?
Sport, actually, it's changed me. And give me the self-confidence that it's amazing for any handicap. Not me only. I don't want to talk only about myself, because I grew up with a lot of people with a disability. the same problem and amputated, paraplegic, and I saw all kind of disability and what sport make to them, to us. It's amazing. It's amazing what, if, you know, I feel like the sky is no limit even. Because with this confidence, you can talk in the same level of eyes when with the... I sorry that I say normal people. I think so people that are not disabled, I call them, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, when you talk with them, when you are make a sport and you... And at the high level of sport or even only... For yourself, it's amazing what it's made. It's really fantastic. And this changed my life actually.
So you said earlier that you started to rebuild your life after the accident, and so sport obviously played a part in that. So what were the first sports that you played? Was it golf or was it another sport?
No, it was wheelchair basketball, actually. I started with wheelchair basketball for 35 years, and then I get wounded in my right arm. Then I say to myself, look, Shlomo, okay, it's coming time to change, because you have what left, it's more two good arm. Well, leave them good and try to find another sport. And in my life, actually, I was sailing, I was diving, I was skiing, not in Israel, of course, and Sella Ronda in Italia, but it was like Israeli, it was too cold for me, and I stopped with this. Yeah. But the best, actually, I find out after 35 of basketball, that the golf make, it's this really, really, really amazing sport. That people don't realize how much it's important for part of their life if you do this sport.
Well, you're speaking from a position of experience, because you've taken part in many sports, as you've just mentioned, and you've had a strong involvement with the ministries responsible for Paralympic sport as well. In your opinion, what makes golf such a great sport, and how can it help individuals with disability?
I want to say to you that around all kind of sport, the Paralympic sport, like swimming, basketball, sailing, and whatever that you do, swimming, you swim and you be part of the disabled family. You all the time in your life, you are part with the disabled family. And golf, it's make the change. What I mean by that you go to the computer, you book the time, 9 o'clock, and most of the time you don't know with who you play, and then you met nice three people, they are work, and they saw somebody disabled play with them, and we say, I'm not going to play if I don't have a bet for beer or for soft drink. This is my opinion with golf.
Yeah.
Because I take the sport very serious, and thank God, I think most of the time other people pay for the beer.
Yeah. Well, I know, because I played a few holes with you. That I think, if I'm not mistaken, we played 15 holes at Caesarea when I was there a few years ago. And it's very competitive, and it is for the beer. And yeah, I don't remember the result, but nevertheless, I know we had some good fun anyway.
I'm sure that you lose, but I give you, if you win, I give it to you, because you are first guest for me.
I don't tend to remember the results when I get beaten. So I think that it was very close, but I don't remember.
Yeah, but what I meant with this, that you go with the strange people, between 3 to 4 hours together, and more 1 hour after to drink beer, and you discuss about everything. And to say, this guy is not disabled. Actually, he give us the feeling that everything is possible.
Yeah.
And that's most the people say. You know, you are experienced for me. You are really, really experienced for me, Shlomo, because when I see you, you know, I was shy and I'm a very open person, and I, you know, I talk with them about everything. I've even a question that a lot of people like to ask about your personality, about the disability, and I'm very free, and I teach them that disabled, it's not sickness, disabled, it's something that you can make it more strong than ever person can imagine that it can be. And all this, you know, some people, if somebody has a big nose, he say, oh, it's depressed, half is his life, because since he's going to change and make an operation, and then he's happy. But they need to learn, people, that the small problem, that's actually most of the things, it's very, very small problem.
Mm-hmm.
And they realize when they saw somebody disabled, play sport against them, and the driver, it's more longer than the driver. And we talk about everything in jury, the golf. It gives them good feeling, and for me, it's amazing.
I think that's one of the strengths, isn't it, for disabled golf, is that we play the game together. And I think it's going to be a long time. In fact, I was with one of your colleagues only a few weeks ago who came over to Villamora for the tennis. But it seems to me it's going to be a long time before, I'm going to use the word able-bodied and disabled player, are going to play on the same court using the same rules. It seems that it's a long way away. And obviously the same would be for football or for rugby or for, you know, those kind of sports. But of course in golf, that's not the case. In golf, we can all play together. And the modifications of the rules by the RNA and the USGA are such that they're small modifications which allows a level playing field. And so it's you're a golfer, number one. That's the strap line of Edgar, as you know, golfers first. So we consider the human first and the golfer second and then the disability third. And it seems to me that that's one of the strengths of the sport. But if you had the resources and could make three decisions that would positively impact golf for the disabled, what would you do next?
I think that the moment that they understand that sport is for everybody and they are shared together, they can make a big difference and big change. Because with the golf, you know, Tony, it's kind of sport that with your handicap, and you can share it together. For me, to tomorrow, if somebody take decision and he say, okay, I want that the disabled people play with the normal people and the Olympic game, not make Paralympic, I was the first one that going there.
Yeah.
I don't need category for that.
Yeah.
That's what nice with golf compared to the other sports.
So how do you think we can get more people with disability into golf? What should we be doing to attract them to the game?
I think actually who is control the golf around the world, they need to put attention that we can make it better sport to bring and to bring the golf to, for example, to the children in school, to begin from there, like you have gymnastics in the school, where we make small field and they start putting and driving around in every school with the age of 8, 7, 8 until they are in high school. Well, this is the first step to make the golf sport for all the people. Because now it sounds like, okay, golf, it's only for rich people. We need in my opinion, and that's actually what I go to do. And next 2 months, I go to start also in Israel a project that I took me and my friend, they are the veterans disabled, to go to school to explain to the children about golf. And if we find between that some people with disability, they listen to that and we show them how people can play. And this is the first step. And the government need to think, I think in my opinion of view, that and I think about other disabled around the world, that this is my interest, yes, and my side, and not from egoistic things, and because I think about the future of the disabled, like I said before, this is very important sport for the people with disability. Well, I think each golf course need to have para golfer there.
Yeah.
Like this, like you have toilet for this for people with the wheelchair, and like you need the by law the facility for wheelchair, each golf course one para golfer, that somebody like me, or when the children grow up and want to play around the world like you, then you take your suitcase, your golf bag, and you fly and you play. What stop me now to go around the world? It's that I don't have the para golfer with me.
Yeah.
If I know that I can rent para golfer in each club around, I don't say any every golf course, I say each town, big town, at least, and 2 golf course, 1 or 2 para golfer. And then this gives the opportunity to the children that they grow up. I think about the future now, that they can fly and play and to integrate with other people around the world. This is the real world. This is what gives the people hope and to give them to be strong together. And this is my opinion of you, because I feel what I give to this world, to people that I be with them, and what it's make to them. And I'm continue with my my opinion of view of the life, and I hope I'm sure that I help a lot of people to understand the life much better.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And I think you're right in that if we can give people the opportunity to be able to play by having more facilities, better facilities, then I'm pretty sure that we will get people to play. And certainly, but I think at some point in the future, the price of para golfers, which is obviously an issue, because they're not cheap pieces of equipment, they're expensive pieces of equipment. But as more and more people play and more para golfers start to get sold, then inevitably the price of these will come down, simply because there's going to be more people in the marketplace that have para golf type vehicles available. And so again, that will become more affordable. So it's a little bit of a catch 22, is you need more players that need para golfers in order to bring the price down, but you need the price to come down slightly so that more people can buy para golfers. So it's
I say if some company, other company, they make the para golfer more cheaper, of course it's help, but it's not, it's something that actually we can find the money for that, believe me. I believe that we can find the money to bring a para golfer that people with disability can use it.
Yeah.
But I don't talk about next year or 2 years. I talk about the future.
Yes.
And with the future, you know, if people with the idea like you, like me, and they say, okay, I go to the government, I think it's not such a big money that make the problem. It's actually give us the opportunity for the new generation that coming after me to play golf with freedom around all the world.
There's 2 things I want to pick up on there, Shlomo. One is that I know you're very active in fundraising, and not only that, but many other activities to help people with disability. But can you tell me something about these activities that you do?
Well, what a nice about in Israel that we had a four country club. It's for veterans disabled that building in Tel Aviv, Haifa, Jerusalem, and Be'er Sheva. And actually, all the money came from Jewish around the world and company that they are believe in this project, and they send money and support all kind of sport there. And I go a lot on board like England and United States, and I play golf in golf club, and I explain to them how much is important that these places survival and continue with what they are do with the project. And really people open the pocket, you know, compared to pay the, to the income tax, they pay for good reason in Israel, in England, in the States, Canada, Australia, really, around all the world, they are support people with disability. And I think if a company think and that company around the world that they give this money compared to the income tax to give to the people with disability organization that really make good charity for disabled people, it's helped not only the disabled people, like I said before, it helps also them and give a good chance to people to do what they like to do, what is important for the future of them.
I totally agree. Tell me, I want to talk a little bit specifically about your golf now and about how you develop your game. Have you had a coach that's helped you to develop as a player?
Yes and no. Why I say yes and no? Because when I start golf in Israel, actually it's only one course, yeah. But we have a normal coaches that teach a normal person, and they don't know actually how to show you or somebody with disability how to teach them how to play golf. The basic they can teach them, but every golfer with disability. And especially me, with Tamar Fartush, I start with her. And since till now, Ricardo, that it teach me to imagination. I take tip from everybody and I build my game by myself. I think if one day we, Edgar or the PGA or whatever, make a course for people with disability and with wheelchair to be coach, it was fantastic for the future. This is thinking for the future, and because if I'm a coach, for example, and I see somebody paraplegic, now I have one Israeli and I teach him, I give him tip, and I'm not a professional coach for golf. Well, this very important step to make a course for people with disability to teach disabled people golf, because they understand much better the physiologic of the problem of the disabled, and they can give them from their experience.
I think to some degree we started on that process a few years ago. We started to put together what we would call an awareness program and a training program for rehabilitation therapists, physiotherapists, golf professionals, so that they could understand some of the headline requirements to be able to teach golfers with disability. And then I think we're now moving, and we've now got a development manager that's involved. And he now is starting to put together some specifics. So specifics about teaching blind people, or specifics about teaching wheelchair players, or teaching
amputees. This is fantastic.
So yes, we're definitely in the process of that. And it's I don't see it being very far down the road, a matter of months, I think, before we have some of those in place, possibly a year. But somewhere in the region of a few months to a year, I think we'll be in a much better place than we are right now. So the next question I was going to ask was about any specific shots that, as a result of your disability, are particularly difficult.
I think it's not. I don't find any problem. Only practice, and then the result comes.
Tell me what you've learned about yourself by playing golf.
I don't know, like, what to say to you about that, because it's challenge. It's difficult, but I don't give to my body to collapse after 5 hours, and I practice, and I find myself more strong inside than before. Really, more strong, more optimist, more happy, mm-hmm. With special people. Really make me much more open with people.
I just want to go back before, because I've got a few general questions that I'd like to ask you, but I want to go back to something you said right at the beginning of our conversation,